This is the insert in your bulletin. We're having a week-long prayer focus starting tomorrow, where we're inviting all of you to join us as you are able. Look at that. The McNeils are here. When did you guys slip in? Welcome here. So good to see you. Are you back short-term in Manitoba?
Just for a week.
Awesome. So good to have you here. Welcome back. Yes. Okay, back to the cry. Our prayer-long week focus, our week-long prayer focus got me all backed up here now. We're going to meet Mondays to Friday from 9:30 to 11 here in the morning, and evenings from 7 to 8:30. The Friday will be a little bit of a longer session. We're going to have a worship and prayer session, so that might not end at 8:30. It might go longer than that. But it says, coming together in the unity of the Spirit to cry out for our Abba's inheritance for Maranatha in the areas of administration, children, youth, finances, for mental, emotional, and physical healing. And we are using Galatians 4 as our key verse, 6 and 7. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who called out or cried out, in some translations, Abba Father, so you're no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son, I'm going to repeat this, into our hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Abba Father, you are an heir. Rather than beginning with our own knowledge and our ideas, we want to come together and pray as a local church together, crying out to our Father. We wish to come in humility on our knees, crying out for what we do not know and asking for heaven's revelation so that when we do take steps forward together, there's a corporate, this seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I just want to share a few thoughts here, and then we're going to invite Claire, Peter, Roger, and Elaine all to share their hearts a little bit on why this emphasis, what's behind it, why at this time, and why we view this as a foundation for moving forward as a congregation. We often talk about the need for God's leading, for hearing from him to renew our thinking in our own personal lives, and the need for us to govern, to rule and reign together with him over the areas of our life that we can't handle on our own. You know what? If you want to deal with the dark areas, the circumstances, the temptations, you can rule and reign with Christ over those areas. You govern them. But the church corporately is also a governing body. It's a governing body intended to rule and reign, to partner with Christ here on earth, bringing together and into manifestation his will and his ways. And we want to do that by joining together in a cry. We have this Spirit inside of us. We have this life inside of us that's locked up sometimes like a shell, and it's got to come out. I think, Roger, in one of your, I wrote it down here, in one of your bulletin inserts in preparation, you said that the word for cry out refers to screaming out, to calling out. It's a shrieking and exclaiming and entreating. It's the word krazo, which means croak like a crow. And it's associated frequently with childbirth. We're talking about a birthing process where something inside of us comes forth into manifestation and reality. And I'm not a woman, but I've seen birth, and there's a cry. There's a cry. There's a labor involved. There's something that goes on. And a few verses later in Galatians 4:19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I travail in labor and birth until Christ be formed in you. He's crying out for the recreated spirit, life that is inside of the womb, to come forth for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. So I'm just sharing a little bit practically here. What is a cry and what is it not? Rod Charles gave us a little bit in that insert, what it is and what it's not. And then we're going to hear a little bit from these others. A cry is not an attempt to beg God or plead with God for something that he would give us that he's not already given us in Christ. It is not an attempt to earn God's favor or to appease him. It is not an effort to convince God to give us something we selfishly want. What it is a releasing of our recreated spirit, our innermost being, that is joined to God's spirit and bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. It's a calling forth, a birthing, of bringing a greater manifestation of what God has already deposited within every believer. And that is a deposit of his grace to enable us to live supernaturally natural. And finally, it is a crying out for the release of the measure of Christ's grace that has been deposited within every believer so that we release this cry corporately. When we open up to a greater corporate filling in the Spirit that can fill the gaps and needs that need to be met. We want to cry out together for that. And as we do, this thought came to my mind. Roger was talking a little bit with me this morning. We were talking about waiting. It says that those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Waiting, sometimes taking time to seek God, can seem like an active or passive thing, but it's not. Waiting is not passive. You're waiting for something. Someone once told me that a surfer who wants to surf a nice wave, there's something's required of that surfer. He has to get up early in the morning. He has to strap that board to the top of his van or car. He's got to drive down to the beach. He's got to get in the water and get wet. He's got to wax his board. He can't create those waves. He can't make them come. But they will come. And there's a waiting involved, a preparation to receive what's going to come. And that's part of what we're doing, is we're waiting upon the Lord. So let's have Claire come, then Peter, Roger, and Elaine, just in that order, one after another, and share your hearts a little bit.
Thank you, Dan. I'm going to share a little bit from a broader context of, and using Acts chapter 1 and 2 as kind of a jump-off point. This whole aspect of coming together in one accord was the beginning of the church age began when the 120 met for 40 days and they came into a place of a unity of purpose. And the unity of purpose was simply to receive everything that Jesus had said was to come to them when he ascended to the right hand of the Father. They really didn't know what it was. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, they said to him, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? In this conversation, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? That's what they were thinking. And as I was just meditating on it this morning, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart to say that this is way bigger than Maranatha. This is it's for us, but it's way bigger than us. Who would have thought in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus spoke to the 12, and then of course many more joined them in that waiting period of 40 days of waiting, as Dan was talking about, for something they didn't fully understand, but something that Jesus had said was going to give them. It was going to give them power to change the world in one generation. How many people does it take to bring about change? It takes a unified group to come together with a common sense of purpose. God, we want what you want. I want what you want for me. I want what you want for this body. The thing that you've destined us for, it's our destiny to come into a place of unity, and it's our destiny to experience the power of Acts chapter 2. And as I was thinking about this morning, the Holy Spirit said, I want to do Acts chapter 2 all over again. I'm going to do it all over again. And I want to do it again and again and again and again. And it will reveal the fullness of God's purpose for us. Just want to read the scriptural passage of the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Means they had one intention in their minds for God's promises to be revealed, for God's provision to be revealed, for his purpose to be revealed. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house that, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And there were those dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man speak in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Going on further, he says, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up amongst the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "You men of Judea, and you that dwell at Jerusalem, let it be known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to quote the verses out of Joel that talked about, he used that reference point to that point, and that point hasn't changed. It's to us too. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Dreams and visions shall come." They were of one mind. They were of one heart. They were of one accord. This is our destiny as the church. And it doesn't start with the church of Niverville. It starts with us bringing ourselves into unity of what the Spirit of God is saying with one another. You know, if there's going to be three people here in the morning on Monday, I mean, I hope there's 30, but if there's three, where two or more are gathered and there we come together in unity, something begins to change. And that's how it begins. It's our destiny as the church. We're called to reveal and release this power to the world. It is the destiny of every one of us here to be filled to overflowing and to release our voice together for the change required in our world. May the cry this week be the beginning of something new, something brand new, something fresh. We desperately need this. Our families need this. Our community needs this. Our nation is longing for hope, and through the unity of the Spirit amongst the church, as we come together and we pray, we will see an outpouring of heaven's reality to bring new times of refreshing.
I was powerfully blessed by going through the material that Roger put on the internet. I'm not an internet guy. I don't go on Gmail very often, but it was well worth it. What struck me in it's just loaded, those three, four sermons, but in the first one you talked about identity. Who am I? And what am I called to? And what is my response in the light of who I am? And that just really, really describes what God's been doing in our lives, especially in the last year, 2019. And I'm so excited about this prayer time because it's anchored in Galatians 4:6. It's anchored in our relationship with our Father. We're coming to seek God together as our Father. And that means that something's going to happen because he's our Father. And And he says, as our Father, that if earthly fathers will do good things for their kids, how much more won't your Father in heaven do good to those that ask him? And just the thought of coming together, because that very fact that he's our Father, makes this week one to anticipate, because he will talk to us. There's no doubt about it that he will reveal himself this week. And as we do, as he does, I just want to challenge you, and myself included, that we come with this, just with this cry of our own hearts, Abba Father. That's what we're coming. We're coming in this very hard attitude of Daddy, we're coming. And as we talk to him, he will surely reveal himself to us. And as he does, because we know him as Father, we'll be able to cooperate with him in seeing accomplished. I sense the challenge of the next week is the smallest part of the challenge. The greater part of the challenge will be, as we've prayed, and as Claire was mentioning about ourselves being cleansed or whatever, being prepared, this next week is as much about hearing as being prepared ourselves to enter into that, to look at myself and say, who am I? Secondly, what do I face? And then thirdly, how do I react to that? Because let me tell you something. When we move into this relationship as God is our Father, we do the same things that we might have done before in a spirit of religion. But now we do it with great joy. I'm reminded of Bob George. In Classic Christianity, he gives an illustration. And he says, suppose there was a maid that worked for a very wealthy man. And every day she gets up and she does the house cleaning and she does the dusting and makes the beds and cleans windows and makes meals, etc. The whole list of things that a maid would do. During this course of her working for this man, he falls in love with her. And he marries her. And after they're married, interesting thing, she keeps dusting, she keeps cleaning, she washes the dishes, she makes the beds. But what a difference. This is my husband. Sometimes when we move forward and we're going to hear from God, we need to remind ourselves that in hearing from God is so important, that in hearing from him, we are offering ourselves, because the aftermath of it will be a challenge to walk in love. And the thing is, we may still make beds, we may still wash windows, we may still dust, but he's our Father. And if he's our Father, it's a joy to do it. What a motivation. Thanks again for leadership, the way you brought this together. And it's so solidly rooted in God's heartbeat for Maranatha. And we're excited. We're excited to see what God's going to do.
Yeah, thank you so very much, Peter. The five of us haven't collaborated what we're all going to say, but you're going to hear even the scriptures that are used, there's a lot of overlap and confirmation that even though we're all different, we are speaking this morning with one voice that I believe is in agreement with heaven. And I'd like to thank you, Peter and Agnes, for being with us the last three Sundays. We know this is, your home church, and we value what you carry and what you've done for us over the years. We deeply appreciate. And they're spending three Sundays of the month right now out at East Braintree, and we believe God wants to reproduce in other regions, in other areas, something fresh, something new. And we should expect, if we are an organism and not just an organization, that we will reproduce, that we will multiply. And that's what I see happening, is multiplication. I wonder, Riley, if you could just put that PowerPoint up on the screen right now. I'd appreciate it. Notice that I'd like us to get hold of this word synergy. The Holy Spirit is in vital union with our spirit. And when that spirit is in the ascendancy, and is yielded to in prayer, that unified spirit becomes the integrating factor. That's why in one of the papers, it's out in the back, I talk about the ministry of people like Elaine among us, who's been contending for years that we be a worshiping body. It's the worship that has actually drawn many people to Maranatha. But it's the Spirit, in spite of our differences, in spite of our uniqueness, the Holy Spirit is the integrating factor that puts the different parts of the body together. And there's no human leader can do this apart from a working of the Holy Spirit among us. So that is our greatest need, is to see the working and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit increase among us. The Holy Spirit, that unified spirit, becomes the integrating factor that causes the different parts of the body to flow together, and then this produces a synergy in the body that orchestrates it to work together, to esteem one another, and to cooperate and to collaborate. That's why we don't compare. You know, Peter and Claire and I, we're all sharing this morning, we all have been individual leaders in this church at different points in time. But today we value what each one of us carries. And we're not in competition, but we're in collaboration, we're in cooperation to see God's purposes burst in our midst. This produces a synergy. Let's see here. Can you make that slide change, Riley? Do you know? Well, there we are. Okay. Synergy is the interaction, the cooperation, and the collaboration of two or more individuals, ministries, organizations, congregations, or groups to produce a combined effect that's greater than the sum of their separate parts. You can change it again, Sam. Now, if you could go back one, I think you missed a slide there. There should be. Anyway, the next slide is taken from. I'm not sure I had this working before. Do you want to try changing that? Okay. Anyway, the next slide is about the definition of the word waiting. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, when you talk about waiting on the Lord, it says those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That word wait literally means to braid, to intertwine, to twist, to come together into oneness. As you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. Now, I brought with me a little example this morning. I got three different threads here, which are could represent individual believers. And so, Daniel, can you take that thread? See if you can you break that thread? Try it, Ken. Just so they can see what, okay, it broke easily, didn't it, you know? This is what happens when we stay as individuals, isolated, not connected. We're easily separated. We're easily disconnected. But when, as we wait upon the Lord, as we become braided together, our spirit is joined to His spirit, and when our spirits are joined together, even though we think differently, even though we may feel differently, we are still one in spirit. Now, as we wait upon the Lord, we are being braided or intertwined. Try and break that one just so they can see it. See if it can happen. Try it again. Oh, look at that. And this is the carpenter's hands, you see? He's got this is an engineer. See if you can break it. I was going to say, if they do break it, then I'll just say, well, we need more unity. See if you can. there you go. Anyway, it didn't break. Anyway, it was similarly that Jesus said to wait for the promise of the Father. Today we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come to us, but we are waiting for the manifestation of everything that the Holy Spirit has deposited on the inside of us. So next slide. The promise was not only that we would have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but that our spirit, joined, braided, and connected to God's Spirit, would rule and reign over what? Not like the kingdoms of this world operate. That's where people, when you say Jesus is Lord, they think, oh, we want to impose our faith on everybody. That is not what Jesus was talking about. If that's the type of kingdom Jesus came to bring, he would not have gone to the cross. But he was talking about a different kind of a kingdom. And that's why the world does not understand, and they make fun of the idea that we think God is not only with us, but he's in us, and so forth. But the promise was that connected to God's Spirit, we would rule and reign with Christ, not over the free will of other human beings, but over the kingdom of darkness, wherever our thought life and our emotional life is in captivity. We need a greater power working in the inside of us to get set free from those things that keep our soul in bondage and in captivity. Next slide. Jesus had just risen from the dead. Here's the commission he gave in Matthew 28. He had just risen from the dead, and he had demonstrated to his disciples that he had all authority, not only in heaven, but would you believe he said, I'll have all authority where else? On earth. So, the authority of the Roman government could not keep him in the grave. And that's where the world gets nervous, because we believe that this authority in Jesus is even greater than any civil authority, but we're going to see change come, not by criticizing or fault-finding, but by praying for all that are in authority and praying that God will turn their hearts toward him and acknowledge we cannot solve the world's problems without the Holy Spirit. We cannot. The authority of the Roman government could not keep him in the grave. Now, by the power of his indwelling presence, he said they're to go and make disciples of all nations, or ethnos, all ethnicities, language, and people groups of the world. Next slide. Now, how can we make disciples of the nations when since the Tower of Babel, the nations are in confusion and they cannot understand one another in order to negotiate peace because they speak different languages? That's our problem in communication. We think differently, we speak different languages, and communication keeps breaking down. And then we get angry with one another because we think we're right and they're wrong, and we both may carry a piece of the puzzle, and we can actually learn from one another. The next slide. The weakness, and Claire already quoted here from Acts 2 this morning, but he quoted how that they, each of them, heard in their own native language the wonderful words of God. The weakness of nationalism is that without the gospel, one nation or people group seems to think that they are superior to all of the others. Now, the strength of nationalism and the reason why God gave each nation their own culture and language is to restrain the forces of globalization and the vision of for one world government without God, because that will be tyranny. And there will be no freedom in any human government apart from the Holy Spirit. So, God's answer to Babel was what? Pentecost. And when the people from all the nations started to understand one another and to hear the word of God in their own heart language, those walls that divide us begin to come down, and we sense a connection. The next slide. The power of the Holy Spirit released at Pentecost, and there's a scripture that Claire already quoted this morning, Acts 2:16, 17. The power of the Holy Spirit released at Pentecost not only broke dividing walls between nations so that different languages were understood, but it broke dividing walls between generations and gender, between sons and daughters. It involved sons and daughters. Young men and old men had dreams, saw visions, and prophesied, and between social classes, for it included the servants and the handmaidens and those that are marginalized in society. They were also part of this, and they had a valuable part to contribute to the government of God. It brings to it's this outpouring, he said, would be on all flesh, on all humans, that will break the barriers between us, whether it be social class, whether it be our language, our nationality, whether it be our generation, or whether it be our gender. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can integrate and break the walls that we value the part that each one carries. Amen? Okay, the next slide, and I think I'm just about done here. What's that? No more? Okay. Anyway, that's it. Okay, so with that, Elaine is going to take the last section this morning. And encourage you to enter in, and really what we want to see more and more of is just a flowing together in the Spirit and go deeper in just releasing the language, the sound, the voice, the spiritual voice that God has put within you. And that's where the unity lies, that can bring all the different parts together. So Elaine, God bless you. Thank you for the part you have played here at Maranatha over the years. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, and some of it has been referred to already. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, and it just puts it in a little different light. The first one being from the scripture that Roger's already, or is the theme of the week, Galatians chapter 4. And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, you're our true Father." Or has been said already, "Abba, Father." The word Abba was actually an Aramaic word, which was borrowed by the Greeks, and now is found in Greek manuscripts as well. Now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, we have access to everything our Father has. For we are one with Jesus, the Anointed One. And I want to read some from Romans. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 15. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, or the spirit of sonship, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, "Beloved Father," or "Abba, Father," for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. Now, one question. Are you seeing that manifested in your life? All? That all that he is and has? Then I'm going to go on to verse 19. The entire universe waits with excitement, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the results of the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children when they are glorified. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who've already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. Jumping down to verse 26, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words, something like the labor in childbirth. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desire of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. And in the footnotes, he says that in this passage we find three groanings. Creation groans for the glorious freedom of God's children. We groan to experience the fullness of our status as God's children, and the Holy Spirit groans for our complete destiny to be fulfilled. All of it. And then in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. One of the things about the Holy Spirit, actually about the Godhead, I believe there's scriptures throughout the Bible that seem to indicate like he's a singing Holy Spirit. He's a singing God. In fact, it actually, in Proverbs, it talks about the song at the beginning of creation. It's like God sang the universe into being. In Isaiah 54, verse 1, that scripture came to me, and I'm not sure, I'm probably taking it out of context. But this is what it says. That it just, I just felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted it. Sing, O barren one. Sing when you don't see the manifestation yet. Sing, O barren one. I don't know if you've... I know we've sung the song a couple of times. I think Nathan and Crystal were the first one to sing it. Jonathan Hessler and Jonathan and Melissa Hessler wrote a song called I Raise a Hallelujah. My melody, my weapon is a melody. The context of that song, how that song came into being, it was a year ago that Joel Taylor, who's a producer in Bethel Music, their little son got very, very, very sick. And the whole body was just interceding and contending for his very life. I don't know exactly how old he is. I think he's something like 4 or something like that. And anyways, one night, Joel called Jonathan and just says, I don't think our son is going to make it through the night. And Jonathan just said he stood there facing his enemy. The enemy was unbelief. He said this unbelief was just right in front of him as he was thinking, this little boy, he's not going to make it. And as this unbelief was just standing right there in front of him, he says, out of his innermost being, out of his belly, just rose a song. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my unbelief. My weapon is a melody. And that little boy is alive and healthy today. So this morning, I want to challenge you to release the song that the Holy Spirit has put inside of you. And I'm going to put a song on. And it begins, give me a minute here. Sorry, my hands are shaking with nervousness here. And the song just starts out low-key, but it builds. And I just want to challenge you to enter in. I was hearing Jonathan Hessler lead this song, I Raise a Hallelujah, and he says, I can't sing your hallelujah for you. Only you can release the song that's inside of you. Only you can release your hallelujah. So I want to challenge you with that. So this morning, we just speak a new level of freedom. It's always been there available for us. Always. But we just want to step into it. We want to step into that freedom in a new way this week and in the coming years. Yeah. So we say yes to your Holy Spirit. We say yes to everything you have for us. Yeah. Amen.
I just want to quickly mention out at the table in the foyer, for those of you who would like to dig in a little deeper, there are three different teachings, the ones Peter referred to, printed out, available. If you want to take into that and dig in to some teaching from the Word about what we're talking about with this cry and releasing our spirit and our song. It's all there, and I welcome you. It's just, it's such good food. I was just reading some of the teachings myself this last week, and just really ministered to me, and I feel hope arising as I read, and I start releasing what's inside. So it's there, available for everyone. We'll be here Monday, 9:30 to 11, and then every day throughout the week at the same time in the mornings, and 7 till 8:30 in the evening. Thank you. Bless you.